back to the Best Worst Thing podcast. I'm your host, Josh Walewa. I'm really excited about my next guest. She's the founder and CEO of Pitch Blend, a company dedicated to leading brands and creators shape the cultural landscape. She's also the founder of V44. It's a Pitch Blend social enterprise which pushes purpose-driven brands towards global social and environmental impact. An alumni of Cal State University Long Beach, her path to entrepreneurship and social responsibility is no doubt very interesting, and I'm excited to learn more. You can learn more about her at Pitch Blend or at Go to The Love on Instagram, or you can find her website at www.pitchblend.com. That's PITCHBLEND.com. Please welcome Candace Hahn.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me today.
Yeah. Thanks for joining me. I really appreciate this, and I've enjoyed getting to know you, you know, prior to this interview. And so I'm excited to jump in and learn more about your story. And so let's get into it. If you can just talk to me about, you know, your current role at Pitch Blend, tell us about this.
So Pitch Blend is a full service integrated marketing and PR agency. I started it back in 2005. It has seen different paradigm shifts over time. So in the beginning, I was, and I still am, like super passionate about music. That's how everything started. And I was representing I need water too. I was representing entertainment and music type clients. So everything from independent record labels, major record labels, festivals, conferences. I was always about the creator space. I came from underground scenes growing up. So DJ culture and street and graffiti art. So we represented a lot of large scale art exhibitions. And then that evolved over time to representing brands. So the first 8 to 10 years, I was heavily involved in the entertainment space. And then that became a natural progression where brands started to integrate into the cultural landscape. Mm. And so then there was this shift with the company and the client profiles where now we solely focus on brand marketing, brand strategy. We also offer digital strategy, campaign development, social media strategy, PR. We're definitely a media relations powerhouse just in terms of being able to generate coverage for on behalf of brands. And then we just launched a creative studio. So the creative studio is creative strategy, brand ID, and then everything from graphic design, motion graphics, 3D animation, web development, and other technology too. There's more, but that's pretty much the...
Well, that's still very comprehensive. It's an interesting concept, and I'm kind of curious how you found yourself in this space. I know it sounds like, you know, your early time and passion with music, but what made you go into the marketing and PR side, which eventually now is focused really on kind of the overall world of branding?
Okay. So when I was younger, I really didn't have a lot of tools, but the concept of we are what we believe, right? And so when I was a little girl, I watched the Brady Bunch. And I saw, so the brothers and sisters, they got their big break, let's say. So the validation came from, they got this break. They were selected to be these dancers on a television show. And so then that was like an early formation, like, success comes with these breaks, right? These major breaks is what I believe. Now I know that that's not wholly true. Like that's not a part of my outlook and life practice, but then the whole time. So then there was this trajectory about like, I'm going to have this big break or when am I going to have this break kind of thing. And so I was going to school to be a sound engineer. I was at Golden West. and then I realized, and so, rewind. I was at Cal State Long Beach, from 18 to 22. And then I failed so miserably because I was raving and I was partying. And, eventually I got a letter where they invited me to leave college.
It was an invitation to leave. All right. Yeah.
And so then, I pursued, getting into music. I was studying to be a sound engineer. And then from that though, is where my love for academia was born. Cause I had to finish. So when I went back to junior college after being kicked out of, university, then I, had to start taking classes in order to even get my sound engineering degree. And in that, my brain started to turn into a sponge. And so the classes that had to do with, other disciplines outside of music started to really feed me. I grew up thinking I was not intelligent. I grew up thinking that I was a failure and a loser. So I didn't think that academia was a pursuit that fell in line with my intelligence. So then, having been kicked out of college too, that kind of like confirmed like, oh, I'm not that smart when it comes to, grasping, information or education, all lies, you know, like all the stories that I was telling myself. And then that time around, I started to, there was a momentum when it came to the education piece. And then I started to pursue, being an entertainment lawyer so that I can still work in industry. But then I wanted to further my academic career. And then from there, I went back to Cal State Long Beach. When I went back to Cal State Long Beach, I majored in journalism and I got a minor in political science. But in that journalism class, I had to take a public relations focused classes. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know what it was. I thought what I knew about public relations was like, yeah, being social and throwing parties, but I didn't realize that there was this, it was an actual professional practice. And so we had to create a fake campaign for a real business. So the class was where you could apply what you've learned and then present to an actual corporation. And so then that corporation was Garden Burger. And they were the earliest veggie patty back in the day. I don't know if you remember it.
I remember, yeah.
You do? Okay. Mm-hmm. And so it was the marketing executives and the CEO that were at the presentation. And then they were represented by a PR company called Westbound Communications. And so all the kids presented, everybody really gave like real like traditional solutions. And then my presentation was all digital. So it was about social media and it was the rise of MySpace and getting brands onto MySpace and talking about newsletter marketing. And then I presented and then that was it. I moved on, still thinking I was going to be an attorney. And then about a month later, the PR agency and Garden Burger contacted me. And so, which is also just a sidebar. So Fifi, who was with the PR company, works with us now, which is so amazing. We went full circle. But she really helped launch the beginning of PitchBlend by by recommending that Gardenburger work with us. Mm. And then Gardenburger contacted, I went down there. Then they said, hey, we don't know what any of that was, but we know we want it. And I was like, you do? And they said, yes, we want everything that you talked about in your presentation. And so then that's how the company was born. And that was my Brady Bunch big break, my first big break after failing and floundering and trying. And so that was the first window into my entrepreneurship.
You know, I've been thinking about this concept of persistence this last week. For some reason, it's come up a lot for me. And just listening to you talk about kind of those early days where you went through that time of, you know, not being really focused on academics and also making up the story in your head about not being intelligent or being a failure and eventually fulfilling those beliefs by, you know, being invited to leave the university. It's interesting. What really stands out to me is you didn't just say, okay, I'm just going to go back to just partying hardcore and say, screw it, my life is truly a failure. If something in you made you go at least explore the sound engineering piece at least.
Right.
Which opened up some other parts of your brain towards learning and obviously influenced your ability and confidence to learn in other areas, which kind of landed you right back in this wonderful place you're in. And so I'm kind of curious about your take on why do you think you persisted?
So I think the persistence, that is the authentic me, right? I think that the pain from believing that I am all of those, that negative chatter of being a loser and I'm a failure and I'm no good and I'm worthless and I have no value, that's trauma, right? And so I was in pain. The partying and the, so the partying, because you know, just having in a past life, that pain, because I didn't have tools, I didn't have guidance, I didn't have the inner guidance either. I couldn't hear it because I was just drowned out in my trauma. Mm-hmm. But always the light was there, right? Even if it felt dim, even if it felt like I couldn't find it, that was my authentic self. That I am wildly curious. Mm-hmm. I always want to, you know, like push myself to see what I can do, right? I love to create challenges for myself that are non-work related. And so those are the, you know, like that part I was able to understand now is that's just who I am. And so that was in there fighting, you know, competing with the embedded trauma that I was experiencing too, the pain I was in. So it was just inherently positive person, extremely positive, idyllic. That is authentically me. And so then really that is what carried me even through, you know, like, long seasons of drug addiction, alcoholism, because I didn't have any tools. I was in pain. So then those were my pain killers, right? Until there was this unfolding. I would say that one of the most pivotal moments that almost brought me into this, the start of my awakening was when I did start the business, because you know, I started working with Gardenburger, but that wasn't going to cover the bills. So I was managing, working like different jobs at the same time, and I was starting all over in this like 325 square foot apartment. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, it was kind of the apartment itself, I was definitely starting over at, you know, like from zero again, you know, and I was living in this apartment, building Pitch Blend. The apartment itself was pretty grim, right? The building itself was pretty grim. but there were people that lived in the apartment that that were a part of my support system. And one night I was working and someone knocked at the door, and I answered the door, and there was this man standing there. And he started talking to me and started talking about things about universal love and synchronicity. And these truths start, you know, when you hear the truth, it starts to resonate. And it was stuff I've never heard before. And he was looking for the person who used to live in that unit, which she was no longer there. And so I told him, she doesn't, which, you know, like, sorry, she doesn't live here anymore. And he was like, oh, great. I just got into town and I was hoping that I could stay. And without, like, the words just came out. It wasn't even me. And I said, well, you can stay with me.
Wow.
And he was like, oh, really? And I said, absolutely. And he was like, great. And he walked in. And then that was it. A stranger that I talked to for 15 minutes at the door. And he just sat on the couch. And his name is Nicholas. He came from, he was a marketer that came from American Express. Also had his own marketing company in Boston. He calls himself the urban monk, right? Total eccentric cat. And he taught me the Bhagavad Gita. He taught me all about the quest of the Holy Grail. He taught me about Shakespeare. He taught me about, you know, concepts of around synchronicity, manifestation, everything from A Course in Miracles. Like the list goes on. And so then, and he's so in tune. Nicholas is not someone that is grounded in this physical realm at all. He is one of the, like, a human of the flesh that can channel, like, the divine. Like, he's so, he just operates at a higher level. In terms of, he's not, you know, like, just in terms of, like, tangible physical space, he does well, but he really, like, exists in the ether, in the, in a higher realm. And so then that started to change me. Like, there was a shift where I started to understand, because I didn't even have that, I didn't even have that foundation, a spiritual walk, to know that there is an unknown and an unseen, to understand, you know, like, to create a life practice, where I can fill it with a belief system where I'm extracting truths from all different thought systems. And then that right there, that was probably one of, like, the biggest, like, seed moments that would, like, change the course of my mindset and how I could see.
So it's interesting. You're pulling in from a lot of different kind of ways of being or living or thought processes, whether they're spiritual or otherwise, towards this kind of this bigger push in your life. I mean, all the evidence around you, even though you've graduated, you've now matched up with Garden Burger, your company's starting to go, but you're hustling, working multiple jobs, living in a tiny space.
And now with a wise man. Right.
And now with sharing that tiny space.
And interns are coming into this tiny space, yeah, and they're, like, walking around the wise man that's sitting cross-legged on the sofa. You have to picture this whole scene here.
And somehow all this comes together to put you on this trajectory towards doing some really cool things.
Yes.
It sounds like quite the scene. Candace, I also wanted to, something else that you said earlier resonated with me. It was kind of, we are what we believe versus that big break moment. And, you know, while the pitch you all did for Garden Burger seemingly was the big break moment.
Right.
But that to me seems to be what the tip of the iceberg.
Yes.
To me, what really stood out was the reset, the going back, the studying, the love of learning. And maybe even this is a part of it as well. The story you just told with Nicholas is it's all of those things that come together that really is the foundation for the product, right? The success. And I don't think a lot of people, you know, I think it's for, especially for a lot of, when I was in high school, I'd see families who were doing well, you know, people who were successful. And I would think, I would never know these stories. Right? Mm-hmm. I would think, oh gosh, they have it together. And you don't realize the struggle, the decisions, the trauma that you talked about,
mm-hmm.
the work that you have to put in, maybe discovering new parts of yourself and new parts of the world or thought processes that you didn't know. And I think that's wonderful. The other thing that really stood out to me was, and so check this out, I had a master's degree,
mm-hmm.
and I was working on my second master's degree.
Amazing.
And I thought I was stupid.
Oh, just so like you. No.
Yeah. I thought I was like, oh, like my colleagues, my peers were running circles around me academically. Some of the concepts were really challenging me.
Mm.
And at that time, I was grounded with a wife and a kid. So fortunately, you know, because my probably typical behavior would be just to drink it away or to party or to numb. And I had that grounding. But it's amazing how we can talk ourselves into making this false belief about
absolutely
our worth and our intelligence. And so if you wouldn't mind talking a little bit about digging yourself out of that hole of I'm not intelligent, I'm a failure to I'm worth it. Was it the breakout moment or was it the chipping away of the learning of the concepts in sound engineering or something else?
It was definitely an over time. It's still a process and journey, right?
Yes.
Of, you know, like it's still a inward journey for me. I am just as I am fascinated with, you know, all that is externally and, you know, the world and the divine. I'm equally fascinated with our unconscious. It's a infinite universe within us too. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of answers there. And so, also, too, I would say I had another moment that was pretty explosive for me where I was able to understand that I have anxiety disorder, mm-hmm. and that anxiety disorder would also kick in these cycles of depression, all trauma-oriented, I would say, mostly. And I was living in these like wound-up, tight cycles, feeling worthless, thinking that I had no value, that I wasn't intelligent. I felt that way for a very long time, probably into my 30s. Mm-hmm. I felt that way. I probably was able to finally like see the glimpse of the truth, like by my mid 30s, which is pretty interesting. But over time, it was like this tempering. But then really, it was the work I was also doing with, when I got into therapy, right? When I was getting therapy, the therapy combined with, you know, designing my life practice, my thought system, and then the therapy combined, that was really what brought everything together where I could finally see myself and, push aside, have enough space between thoughts to finally see the truth. Mm. And the perception started to shift over time, if that makes sense. So it wasn't like, it wasn't like something where it was like, okay, I got it and now I'm free, right? It was realization after breakthrough, after realization, after breakthrough. But once you bring what's unconscious conscious, then you don't have to do anything. And that was something that Ralph, who was and is my therapist, that was something that that's what like gave me these new eyes, a new point of view. So the world is the same, but how I see it has changed. Uh-huh.
That's a wonderful gift that Ralph gave you. And I love that idea of finding space between thoughts, because yeah, if you're like Candace or me, my mind runs a lot, and it's hard sometimes to find that space in between, which is really important. So Candace, I want to talk a little bit, switch gears a little bit, and talk about your upbringing, like where you're from, kind of where you grew up, kind of family structure, anything that you want to share.
I was born in Korea, and I moved to the United States when I was 2 with my biological, my mother and my biological father. We landed in Costa Mesa, California. We lived in a tiny little apartment, and my cousins lived, we lived, I think, in apartment A, and then my cousins from Korea, my aunt and uncle cousins from Korea, had moved to America at the same time, and then they lived in apartment Q. And so then from there, when I was about 3 or 4, my parents had split up and got a divorce. And then my mother got with my stepfather, who I call my dad. And so then that was the family unit. We lived in Costa Mesa for years. And then we moved to Huntington Beach. My father is an artist. My mother originally got her degree in fine art, wanted to pursue art, but ended up being an engineer at Hughes Aircraft. So that's their story. And then I lived in Huntington Beach through high school. And so, yeah, so those were like formative early years.
Absolutely. Yeah. From Korea to Southern California, and you had the full Orange County spectrum. No doubt about that.
Yes. Yes.
It's, you know, some people say this when, you know, different stages of their lives, how they become their parents. And I'm hearing from you, 2 artists in your family, even though your mother's an engineer, but an artist at heart is my guess, a creator at heart. And it's interesting that we are so deeply influenced by those early first figures and how you've landed in the same space.
All the imprinting, for sure. I landed in the same space. I don't personally create art, but I support art. You know, I promote the arts. One of the things, though, that I have arrived at is that I am like me, myself, how I'm grounded to my existence, like who I am is my art, right? So that I'm growing and pushing myself to be the best version of myself that I can be, that, you know, that I am, you know, like evaluating my own personal blocks, doing the things that I'm afraid of, really pushing myself to be the fullest expression of myself, to reach my highest potentiality. So then, you know, like I've turned myself as the person as my art. But yeah, that those formative years, having my, you know, like having my parents, but especially my dad, my stepdad, he was, I think, one of the most influential forces in my life to be doing what I'm doing today, for sure, and how I'm doing it.
Well, it sounds like you're a very fortunate person to have somebody like him in your life.
I heard you make people cry on this show.
that's not my intention, but you know, I'm glad that you were willing to go there and be vulnerable.
Thank you.
So I have one more question before we take a pause into the big question. And that question is, if you could talk to us about the 44.
Yeah.
So curious about that. Yeah.
So the 44 is a subdivision under Pitchblend. And it is our social enterprise. And having worked in the space for almost 17 years at this point, I would say about maybe like 5 or 6 years ago, you know, again, I'm constantly evolving, and I wanted to make my life, my profession align with my value system and make my work my actual life work. And so then this is the next step. So being able to apply all my knowledge, my resources, and expertise, but then apply it to something within commerce where I'm promoting good. So because I work in the consumer landscape, I really felt like I needed to do something more meaningful and purpose-driven in terms of being able to elevate the marketplace, being a part of, you know, creating the acceleration of an inclusive marketplace. Sustainability, I know now is this hot button topic because of how imminent, you know, our climate crisis is. This was stuff that is not only just something that I care about from a marketing level, but from a lifestyle and principle level too. It is my love for planet, and how can I be a part of not only reversing, but then rerouting the direction that commerce can go, working with businesses to create solutions, renavigate best practices, promote those new models to be able to, take great care of the welfare of our planet, our animals. You know, obviously I'm not perfect, but it's in my heart to do my best. And then also social purpose, right? To be able to elevate humankind together. It goes back to potentiality. And I feel like we've just scratched the surface just in terms of what humans can do. If we were able to, and this is where I'm very idyllic, if we were able to shift the projection, right? Because I think that just as easily as we can create war, just as easily as we can create corruption and create communities of greed, fear tactics, domination, we can also create a kind and beautiful and thoughtful and community inspired world. Because if we can create that projection in reality, I do think that we can create singularity, celebrate differences, go beyond celebrating differences, embracing each other. And so that's really the essence of why I created the 44. Mm-hmm.
With so much going on in the world today, so much strife, it's great that you are taking ownership of what you can do in your part on the positive side.
Thank you.
And so, yeah, I want to applaud that for sure and put a call out there to everybody who has passion and interest in that area, as well as other areas of really adding to the greater good and beyond greed, domination, and self-interest, but improving the plight for everybody around the world and even in our country. That's the move to make, and you get to live a full life, you know, and also it doesn't have to be either or. You get to, Pitch Blend is still going, the 44 is still going, you're working with major brands like Adidas and others, yet you get to do this heart work, which is really, really impressive.
Thank you.
You're very welcome, Candace. We're going to take a short break and then we're going to get into the big question.
Great.
All right, as you know, if this is your first episode or first season of listening, or if this is your 24th episode, this podcast is called The Best Worst Thing. And so this is the point where we ask our guests to share a personal or professional story, either a setback or a situation. And what we want to know is, what was the situation? How did you get through it? And what did you learn about that situation that you'd like for other people to take away from hearing your story? So, Candace Hahn, what was your best, worst thing?
Okay. So, it's funny because I always think that all the events in my life, even bad, were the best thing, right? But one of the things that was one of my most recent best things. I was in a relationship. We, great person. We just weren't equally matched, right? It was just not the right fit. We were living in Los Angeles and we decided to part ways, and we were living together. And I decided, you know, at that point, I'm not going to start all over again and get my own place in Los Angeles. Prior to us separating, I started to notice that, and this is, you know, pre-COVID too, I'm taking us back 4 years ago. I started to notice that my clients were working more digitally over time. It was like this, you could just see the shift where, everything was becoming more and more and more digital, even though it was digital, but it was becoming more and more digital. And so I started thinking, hey, I can live anywhere. Like, I started to have this knowing, like, I can do this from anywhere. I don't have to do this just from Los Angeles. I have a team, you know, like my team, I have a team throughout the country to be able to help in terms of operating and running the business too. And so I decided to, I decided to, on my own volition, give up having a physical address and to then start this whole adventure to live and work from anywhere. So that took me to, I would say, 3 years of living and staying in 7 countries and 7 cities throughout the United States. And so then that became a part of my life design and my my lifestyle. So I, you know, 3 months in, it looked like this. 3 months in New York, 3 months in Central America, 4 months in Los Angeles, 3 months in Europe, 3 months in Asia, 3 months in Portland, 3 months in Seattle. And it was where I just, wherever I was curious, I would go. And so then that also changed my whole perception of the world and what is possible for what is possible for how to like lead my life too. I have this like unwavering penchant for freedom and independence. So some people want all the money. I cultivate and create a lifestyle where I can have the most freedom, right? It doesn't deter or change who I am as a professional at all. I work around the clock. I'm so dedicated to my business. Even when I was living in other societies, I would never miss a beat. Like, no one knew that, you know, or they knew, but no one really knew that I was living all over the place. And then since the pandemic, I have been, you know, with family stationary in South Carolina, which I really needed. The lifestyle also, it's adrenaline filled, right? You're, especially in societies where no one speaks English, everything is in different, even different characters. They're not like Latin-based characters. In those environments, your brain is constantly like, what's that? What's that? What's that? What's that? I haven't seen that. What is that? Are you okay? What's that? So then when, once the pandemic happened, you know, like I was holed up in South Carolina, but it brought me back into balance because I definitely work in extremes, healthy extremes, but I work in these extremes. And so, so then it was kind of like this was kind of even like a much needed, like, break from that life. But then the most important part is it's not necessarily about having to continue to always live that way, but just knowing, you know, just the freedom to know that I can be anywhere at any time. Like if I want to go to Africa next week, the fact that I know that I can, that's what matters. Mm-hmm.
It sounds to me like there's a emotional and psychological freedom, because initially it was you tethered in LA and in this relationship that obviously, you know, I can relate to that, where sometimes two good people are just not the best match, and that's just the deal. And, you know, you have to go your separate ways. But it opened up the space for you. And when we talked earlier, I love this idea of this nomadic lifestyle where you can live 3 months in Portland and 3 months in Asia and 3 months in Europe and 3 months in New York. But I can also appreciate the high alert level of seeing new things and having new stimulus all the time. And realizing when you settled in South Carolina, oh, this is what it feels like to be still. And there's balance in it all too, right? there's something good about having some of this here for a little bit, having a little stability.
Absolutely.
Unintended consequence. Yeah.
But I am picking up and headed to LA in a couple of weeks. So the adventure begins again. Yes.
Yeah. The other piece about it is even if like physically over the last year, you haven't been able to make the same type of moves, it is the freedom in your mind that's also important, which kind of relates to what we were talking about earlier about how we, the world is the world and how we experience it is up to us.
It really is.
And so internally, you know, if I need to go to Africa next week, I can go, right? If I need to go out back to California in a couple of weeks, I'm going.
Right.
And that's such a wonderful freedom to have. It's just amazing the strength of the mind and that ability and how you've been able to flip what some people would think would be a very difficult situation to freedom, to true freedom,
mm-hmm.
which is incredible.
And whatever each person's definition of that is. So, you know, this is my version and it fuels certain needs and desires and vision that I have, but everyone has their own expression of what that means. There's, you know, varying degrees of what freedom means to people. And I love that we can play with that.
Absolutely. And mm-hmm. we get the rest of our lives to play with that concept, which is wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
So Candace, listen, you have been so generous with your time and wonderful. And I appreciate this and our previous conversations and even the conversation before the interview. You're just so easy to talk to. And
thank and so, you. You are too. Yes. Wow. Thank you so much for having me on too. I've really had fun.
Absolutely. Can you tell the listeners one more time what's the best ways to get a hold of you?
Okay. So it's at Go to the Love on Instagram, at Pitch Blend on Instagram, and then you can visit our website at pitchblend.com.
That's wonderful. Thanks again, Candace.
Thank you for listening to the Best Whispering Podcast. I'm your host, Joshua Lewa. Music is produced by Josh One. You can follow him at BoomNote on Instagram and Twitter, and Josh One on Spotify. Our episodes are edited by Cool Jets Audio and Visual. You can follow them at Cool Jets AV on Instagram. Our marketing is designed by Francesca Daniels. You can find her at FrankandKitty24 on Instagram. And our overall design is by Inspired Design with Ryan Daniels. You can find them at getinspired.design on Instagram. Thank you for listening to the Best Worst Thing.
Trailblazer, main space, your optics. I rock this, cops this, blaze your boombox. The cool Cali kid from the boondocks. Bounce through your hood like Shaka with a Krylon. Independent thing to play a beat, I get my rhyme on. So when I strut on a path to perfection. City to your borough, to your town, to your streets. Keep your party live, Josh One got beats out of nature. Grazer, Oakland, strays to Asia. It's like Frasier, force of Fantasia. Move through your suburbs.